I'm Tamara.
And I'm Rel.
And this is Fearful Friends Podcast. There we go.
What's up?
It's been a week. That's for fucking sure.
I'm very burnt out.
You're so funny. I'm on week two of Ozempic.
What's Ozempic?
The shots we were talking about.
The weight loss. Oh, that's what it's called? I see commercials for it all the time. I didn't know it was called Ozempic.
There's different names.
You used a very long name in our last episode.
Semaglutide, because it's...
Yeah.
It's like the actual brand.
Ozempic.
You're thinking of O'Reilly's Auto that Parts.
Is good marketing. Works for everything.
But like Ozempic, Manjaro, some other... Tetrazide. Who knows?
So how's it going?
I feel pretty much the same. I've been doing my injections on Wednesday, so the last 2 days I have definitely felt a little bit of appetite suppressant and no nausea really, but I'm still on that like introductory dose. So this is that was shot 2 out of 4. And then on the 5th shot, I'll be upping my dose, which is where you're supposed to really notice symptoms, I guess.
Okay.
Anything crazy happen to you this week?
I mean, I have a funny story about a customer.
Let's hear it.
All right. So it happened on my day off, but here I had like 4 because everybody knew how mad I would be if it had happened when I was there. I had like 4 or 5 different people come and tell me what happened on my day off to say, aren't you glad you weren't there? This little lady, she comes in to buy some eggs and proceeds to take like, one of my coworkers said about, she took about 12 cartons of eggs out of the cooler and like laid them all on the floor and then proceeded to like pick through all the cartons, even though they were like all the same brand and everything.
She laid them on the floor?
Laid them on the floor. Laid them all out. Opened all of them up. Picked through all the eggs. Took all the ones that looked the best, I guess, even though they all look the same. They come from the same farm.
So was it all the same brand?
Yeah. Same brand. Same everything. And,
I could get it if you're like, I'm gonna put the expensive eggs in.
Right, which I've had people do before. I also have people like I carry these ones that have like some blue eggs mixed in, and they'll take like 5 cartons down and they'll just like sort out so they have all blue ones. And I'm like, you know, there's no difference in the egg, right? It's literally just the color of the bird. They don't taste better, nothing. It's just the feathers. Nobody gets it. I'm fucking crazy. So, yeah, she's got all these eggs laid out. She's sorted through. She has picked 1 carton of eggs for herself. And then she proceeds to walk away.
With all the eggs on the floor?
Yes. And then, so, like, one girl was working over in produce. And she saw that this lady was just, like, leaving all these eggs on the floor. And she walks over to go close them back up and put them back onto the shelf. And the lady goes, what are you doing? And the girl was just like, I'm putting these back where they go so that they don't get stepped on because they're on the floor. And she goes, you can't put those back. They're contaminated now. Make it make sense. A, you're the one that put them on the floor. B, eggs come out of a chicken's butt. Like on a farm sprayed with animal shit. Tell me how they're contaminated now.
Did she think she just had the right to contaminate all the eggs?
Not only that, but are you licking the bottom of the carton? Is your, how are the eggs themselves contaminated because you put them on the floor?
I mean, contaminated by her dirty fingers, her but
nasty
also, like,
fucking old lady fingers.
You don't eat the shell.
Every single one to pick them up. And all my coworkers were right. I probably would have gotten fired if I had seen that because I just can't keep my fucking mouth shut. I just can't. Like, not anymore. I'm just done. I'm done with these people. They want everything to be 100% perfect and fuck everything else and fuck all the food waste that they produce as a side effect of their fucking greed and just wanting everything to be fucking perfect. Knocking shit off of the shelves to find the best date, even though I just filled it and I know that all the dates are the same and I even yell it through the door. They're all the same. I promise. I wouldn't lie to you. And then they still don't believe me and they just like fuck everything up and knock everything over. And then I have to clean up goat's milk. Do you know how bad that smells?
No.
Now I'm all hot and bothered.
Anyways. Well, to change the subject.
Thank God.
Away from eggs again.
I'm sorry. It's literally my job.
I want to shout out a listener.
We have a listener shout out?
Yes.
Is it Sierra?
No.
Is it Robin?
No. We've shouted them out many times. No. This is a listener that messaged us on TikTok. His name is Zach Rosenthal 750.
Are we allowed to say his name?
I asked, yes.
Oh, okay.
I asked if I could use his TikTok handle. And he said, sure, you can say I'm switching my allegiance from Christine and M to you guys, which is...
Wow, I just got chills.
We are not that good, Zach.
Wow. Makes me choke up a little bit.
But thank you so much for reaching out to us. And
thank you for listening, even though like we're just kind of stumbling through this whole thing. Still haven't figured out how our fucking microphones work.
It's more the editing.
We're trying our best.
Yeah.
I feel like that's evident.
So, yeah. Any listeners, reach out to us. Send us a message on TikTok or Instagram.
Shout out Fridays.
Yeah.
Which is every day. That's when we post an episode.
All right.
I had to come up for a theme song with a, you know, the shout out theme song.
Okay.
What are we feeling? Hawaiian vibes?
No. No, no.
We'll troubleshoot it.
Okay. Okay.
Throw some things at the wall, see what sticks.
What distraction do you have for me? Because I need a distraction.
Well, we're jumping right in, aren't we?
Yeah. Okay. I made you take me on an adventure before we did this because I
she did
couldn't be a human. House buying and hunting, and it's just...
In South Florida.
It's
what
so...
What a fucking nightmare.
So stressful, and it's taken a toll on me and my husband a lot.
It is, like, something that I would wish on nobody.
And it's been only 1 week.
Yeah.
It's been one fucking week, and it's...
So if anybody lives in the area...
And wants to sell me a house.
Or just knows of anything affordable. Okay, so... are you aware of the movie Candy Cane?
Nope.
Nope, not Candy Cane. Let's start over.
Okay.
Are you aware of the movie Candyman?
No, I've heard of it.
Well, I should have looked up a summary because it's been a really long time since I've watched it. But basically, the premise is a black man and a white woman, I believe, have like a love affair. And then he's murdered. He becomes like, you know, the urban legend. Like you say his name three times in the mirror. And
are you doing an urban legend?
Well, I'm doing the true crime case that inspired the movie Candyman.
Okay. Is there an urban legend now?
I mean, I just don't think it works. I've tried it. I don't see Candyman come through my mirror.
Okay.
But the truth of the story is much more horrifying. Okay. And much more sad.
Right.
Like in the movie, it's based in a really, really hard time and place in Chicago with like rampant poverty, racism, drugs. It's just bad times.
Okay.
So we're going to talk about the murder of Ruthie Mae McCoy. So Ruthie was born in Hughes, Arkansas. Sweet. On January 13th, 1935.
I don't know.
You don't know the astrological sign?
No.
What do I pay you for? Zach?
I'll look it up for you.
She's fired. I'll wait.
Okay.
I'm going to guess Virgo.
So, nope, that's September.
I don't know shit about this.
Zodiac sign. When is it?
January 13th.
Capricorn.
Okay, well, I don't know shit about Capricorn.
Tell us about her.
Responsible, disciplined, self-control, good manners, reliable. Those are the strengths.
Well, not all those apply to Ruthie because she suffered from mental illness.
Her weaknesses are know-it-all, unforgiving, condescending, expect the worst, and pessimistic.
That literally sounds like me. Am I a secret Capricorn? I don't identify with my sign at all.
Oh, I definitely identify with a Taurus.
Again, I will fucking,
I will hold a grudge.
I also hold a grudge. I don't know. I got nothing. I think it's all mumbo jumbo wumbo. Okay, so January 13th, 1935 is when Ruthie was born. And she was one of 9 children. It's a lot. The McCoy family makes the move to the south side of Chicago, trying to find better job opportunities, but things just never really turn out for the struggling family. Ruthie attends Phillips High School briefly, I think for like less than a year, but then she drops out in the 10th grade to help take care of her siblings and make some money. In her 20s, her family notices that Ruthie is like, she's starting to talk to herself. She's really quick to anger. She's like, has like frequent fits of rage. And she's definitely starting to show signs of mental illness.
Oh God, are you describing me?
All of us, really. I can't tell you how much I talk to myself at work.
I can't tell
people
you.
People just look at me and I'm just like.
How quick. How quickly I jump to fits of rage.
It's easy to do these days.
Yeah.
Really. Especially traffic. Eggs. And eggs. All the things that trigger me. So her family were devout Baptists. And because of this, they never really sought out help for her mental illness because they just basically chalked it up to it's your fault for falling out of love with God.
Okay.
Which is fun. Yeah. Her brother actually used the quote, she got out of God.
Not like a demon has
I'm sure that there was some over her. Like demon talk, but whenever I start to read about religion, I just start to like get glassy eyed and a fog takes over my brain. I just like my eyes roll so far back in my head, I feel like I'm going to pass out.
They did just now.
It hurts sometimes.
Yeah.
So when Ruthie was 27, she became pregnant with her only child, Vernita. The father didn't stay in the picture long, but Ruthie did the best she could given the cards she was dealt. Vernita would sometimes have to stay with family members growing up as Ruthie battled with her mental health. She would often be institutionalized on and off, and she would find it difficult to hold down even menial jobs for more than a month or two. And then one day her basement apartment gets completely flooded. And
how did I know you were going to say that?
Because that's just what happens, man. When you're poor and you're fucking down on your luck, what do they say? When it rains, it pours.
Listen, watch out. Because my house flooded. My boss's house flooded, and now my other coworker's house has flooded.
Are you about to put this juju on me?
No, I'm just saying.
Don't fuck with me.
Your homeowner's insurance better be up to date. Get that shit going.
Oh, it is. Trust me. It's very expensive. And plus, my water heater's just been replaced, and it's out in the garage. I mean, I guess other things can flood, too.
Yeah. Like but, your toilet or your refrigerator line or like any of the pipes in your walls.
That's like, it's horrifying. It's a big fear of mine. Like, I like went off on Matt the other day because he took a shower. Or he took a bath. But it was like he laid down in the shower. And then he like uses his foot to plug the bathroom. The what's it called? The drain.
Yeah.
And then I guess he didn't realize that the curtain wasn't like all the way closed. And like I walked in and I was like, wow, the floor is squishy. Our nice, beautiful floors.
Yeah. And what do you have, like wood laminate?
It's like vinyl.
Yeah.
And it's supposed to be waterproof, but because someone dropped the ball on caulking the house. I mean, it was me. I dropped the ball.
It's fun.
Do it.
Oh my God. What is wrong with them?
Men. I don't know. He's going to listen to this too.
Watch it. Well, I didn't say what's wrong with you, Matt. I said what's wrong with them.
Men in general.
Yeah. No, like husbands.
Did you say it's fun to caulk things? Can you show me how?
That's X-rated, Ralph.
Please. What kind of podcast do we have?
Not an X-rated one, I don't
think. It is R-rated.
Okay.
I think. Well, we have an explicit rating.
We do.
With a triple X.
Basically, you just like splooge it on out and then take your finger and like just.
What about sand grout? You know anything about that?
No. That's for tile, isn't it?
Well, that's how shit's sealed. I don't know. We'll talk about it later. I'm very stressed.
That doesn't seem watertight.
It's not, because it cracks. Yeah. That's how the water gets in.
Goodness.
Maybe I can put caulk over it. Anyways, Vernita. No, not Vernita. Ruthie. Ruthie's basement floods. No, her apartment, which was in the basement, flooded.
Her basement apartment.
Yes. She is unable to come up with the money for a new place, as that goes. So Ruthie applied.
I'm assuming she didn't have renter's insurance.
I don't think renter's insurance was a thing back then. It's definitely a modern day thing.
Hey, PSA. If you're renting a place, get fucking renter's insurance.
Especially in South Florida, hurricanes.
Mold.
Mold. Sorry. She is very traumatized about her mold situation.
How about air conditioners catching on fire in your attic?
Did that happen to you?
Yes.
When?
In the middle of July, like 2 years ago.
Why didn't you tell me that?
I'm pretty sure I sent you a picture.
No, you didn't.
It was not fun.
Were you in the house?
Yeah. That's how we realized what was going on.
My God, what if you weren't? You've been homeless a long time ago.
Yeah. That's why you got to have renter's insurance. It's so cheap. Just get renter's insurance, please.
Just do it. And like if all your shit gets stolen, I think that's covered.
Yeah.
If you
need to relocate.
Lose it.
Oh my God.
I did that for the video. Well, I was winking, everyone. Yeah, that's in a case
very
you're not
strong wink.
Stroking out.
Like if you have to relocate and stay in a hotel.
It'll cover that too?
Depends on the plan that you have, but.
Oh. In my personal experience, I find that insurance companies don't want to pay for anything.
Oh, no. At all. They don't. They don't, but.
Okay. So. We keep going off on tangents, and I've read the same sentence. Her basement floods. Her basement apartment. Her apartment that's in the basement.
Sorry. Her home in the basement.
Her
floods.
Basement apartment floods.
She's homeless.
She is now homeless, but not really, because she applies for emergency CHA housing, which is like low income housing. She had her. So, long story short, there are a whole bunch of like different. Like neighborhoods, I guess you could call it, within the housing projects. And There's one in particular that they all have a bad reputation for being super crime ridden and just like not good. But there's one in particular that had an extremely bad reputation that she have heard of. So after she got accepted, she wrote two letters to the Chicago Housing Authority. The first, she asked that she could be placed near her family in the South Side's Wentworth Gardens. And then the second letter, she just asked to be placed anywhere but in a high-rise building, specifically in the Abbott Homes development, which is a high-rise building. At the time, a study had been done, and it had found that high-rise buildings were the most dangerous type of buildings for public housing because it promoted anonymity within its residents. So tons of shady people who don't need to be known by their neighbors, don't want to be known by their neighbors, and there's a lot of things that can go on a lot of different floors without anybody seeing what's going on.
Okay. That didn't make sense to me, but okay. I just thought it was like...
I was confused at first, too, but then when they explained it, I was just like, ew, it's so true. Like, if something were to happen on my street, like, I have all these neighbors, and we kind of have, like, a community. You know, I don't know their names, but my neighbor gave me mangoes one time. That was really nice. But I feel like they would let me know if something shady was going down. In these places, you hear something, you don't say anything. You know, it's...
I thought she just wanted to be away from basements.
No. She wanted the opposite. She wanted to go back into the basement. She wanted to be away from a high-rise building.
Oh, away from a high-rise.
Yeah, she was just like, I don't want anything to do with a high-rise building.
Okay.
Because those are the shadiest of places. So, sadly, though, her letters were ignored, and she was offered an 11th floor unit in the Abbott Homes development. Far from what she wanted, but given that it was like a government assistance, you know, housing project, she had little say in the matter and accepted what she was given. And in May of 1983, she moved into apartment 1109. So these high-rise buildings in Chicago at the time were not known for being safe, clean, welcoming, or accommodating, especially not to anyone struggling with their mental health. They were known as the most dangerous buildings in the whole housing development, and they were described as featuring, quote, dark, malfunctioning elevators, pitch black stairwells, and cocaine and PCP addicts on nearly every floor. Fiends really are lurking in the shadows here. In these towers, you're crazy if you're not always looking over your shoulder, unquote.
Did she have her daughter with her at this point?
No, her daughter went to, her daughter at this point was in her 20s.
Okay.
And had a child of her own, and she was actually arrested for a little while there. She spent a little while in jail. So Ruthie was actually with the granddaughter. She was raising the granddaughter at the time, but then I don't think that lasted very long either.
So she didn't have her granddaughter either when she moved in here?
She did at first.
Okay.
That's but then an scary incident happened, and I think the granddaughter went to go live with other family. Yeah. We'll get to that incident.
Okay.
So, yeah, the area is just riddled with crime, murder, drugs. I actually read another thing that said that just in the Abbott Homes development alone, residents were 4 times more likely to be raped, murdered, or just like the victim of violent crime than anyone else in the, like, even in the next building over. Yeah. It's wild. So with that being said, it just made her super duper paranoid every single day. And can you blame her? You know, there's literally creeps lurking around every corner. And it all just goes back to like the little boy who cried wolf, I think, of like, you know, you're paranoid, you're dealing with your mental health, you're always calling, like, something bad's gonna happen, someone's trying to kill me, someone's trying to get at me, and, like, then just people just don't listen anymore. So, in 1986, 2 people entered her apartment through her bathroom medicine cabinet. We will get to that later. And they burgled the place. It was reported to the Chicago Housing Authority, but no action was taken. After this incident, she really knew that she had to get out of the projects because truly no one was looking out for her. And I think it was after that incident that the granddaughter went to go live with family.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure. Sorry. I'm doing my best. It's just really sad because, like, this is, like, such a well-known story because of, like, the whole, like, you know, the Candyman movie really, like, put this story, like,
in the public's eyes, and there's still just like so little information about it. It was really hard to find anything about it.
The whole medicine cabinet thing is really creepy.
We'll get there, bitch.
Okay.
So, yeah, she's trying to get out of the projects. And in the months before her murder, she had been approved to receive supplemental security income, which not only doubled the monthly assistance she received, but the supplemental income was paid retroactively. So her first check was almost $2,000.
Wow.
Which was a huge financial win for her. Like, not only could she, like, you know, get herself a new coat, but she could also have enough to put down on a place that wasn't so dangerous, mm-hmm. you know? So, I mean, she wasn't out there, like, making it rain or rolling up in a Bentley, but even just her using a little bit of the money to buy herself a new shirt or a new coat was enough to attract attention to herself, and essentially that made her a target for, you know, all the scummies in her building.
Oh, my God.
I know. She was, like, so close to being out, too. On April 22nd, 1987, just before 9 p.m., Chicago dispatch. How do you say that word?
Dispatch.
Why does it sound so weird?
Because you're like really emphasizing the P, but I think it's dispatch.
Dispatch gets a call from Rudy. Not Rudy. I'm sober. I cannot talk right now. I'm gonna start that whole sentence over. On April 22nd, 1987, just before 9 p.m., Chicago dispatch gets a call from Ruthie. She's frantic, and they're having a hard time trying to sort out what the problem is. And here's how the call goes. She says, "I'm a resident at 1440 West 13th Street, and some people next door are totally tearing this down." The dispatcher says, "What are they doing, ma'am? They want to break in?" She says, "Yeah, they throwed the cabinet down." He says, "From where?" She says, "I'm in the projects. I'm on the other side. You can reach my bathroom. They want to come through the bathroom." Dispatch says, "All right, ma'am. At what address?" She says, 1440 West 13th Street, apartment 1109. The elevator's working. Which is sad that she even had to say that, because the elevator so often wasn't working. So, still unsure of what Ruthie was trying to report, the dispatcher sends a beat car on its way to answer what he thought qualified as a disturbance with a neighbor complaint. Because, you know, he couldn't tell if anybody was hurt or anything like that. And because of the call being labeled incorrectly, police still hadn't made it to the apartment when at 9:02, another 911 call came in from a woman who had been walking in the hallway past apartment 1109 and heard gunshots. Then at 9:04, 2 minutes later, another call came in to report gunshots and hollering in the same apartment. After this, two more police cars were dispatched to the scene. And at about 9:10-ish, four officers arrive at Ruthie's doorstep and begin pounding on the door. And when Ruthie doesn't answer, they call dispatch again to see if they can, like, redial her phone number and reach out to her. And on the other side of the door, they can hear the phone ring and ring and ring.
Oh, my God.
And no answer. The officer's next move is, like, we gotta get in there, but we don't want to break the door down because we don't know if there's trouble. Which is, like, okay.
That's the reason why you need to break it down.
Seems like there's trouble because no one's answering the phone. And she said, they're breaking down the bathroom or whatever. They call the, next move was to, they went down to the office for the building. And they got, like, a spare key for her door. And because Ruthie was, like, going through some shit and she was super paranoid, she had changed her locks, like, constantly. I think it was, like, her third set of locks she's changed. And the key didn't fit the door. So they called the project office again to figure out if there was
Oh my God, it's a door. Just open
I
it.
No. Kick it down. So.
All right.
I know, it's very infuriating. This poor woman could have been helped. They called the project office again to figure out if there was another key, or maybe they were given the wrong one by accident. And the janitor said, "There's no other key for apartment 1109. Stop calling me."
So, hey, we're the police, but like, can you help us?
come on over. They were like, "Well, we tried," and then they left. Yeah,
the police left.
Yes. Yeah. Again, rampant racism. This is a black woman that's calling in a like a poor neighborhood in a bad building. They just don't fucking care. It's very upsetting. The next day, Deborah Lasley, who lived on the same floor as Ruthie, called the police to tell them that she'd seen them at Ruthie's doorstep just the day before. And she was worried about Ruthie because she would always stop by her apartment on the way out of the building every morning. But this day she hadn't. So, like, she knew something was up. The police were there, but Ruthie's not. So, once again, a few officers were dispatched to the apartment, and they were joined by a couple Chicago Housing Authority security guards. They knocked on the door and called out for Ruthie, but still no answer.
Why do the police need security guards?
I'm not sure. I really don't know. None of this makes sense to me. And, like, if the CHA has security guards, why is crime so high? So, yeah, they knock on the door. They call out for her. Still nothing. Police claim at this point that they wanted to break down the door, but they were told not to by the CHA security because they were worried about a tenant possibly suing for, like, wrongfully breaking down the door. Plus, then they'd have to get someone up there to fix the broken door when they were done. And who wants to do that? So, once again, they just left. Well, we've exhausted all options. Bye. So, the next day, Ruthie's friend Deborah called again. She didn't call the police. She said, "Fuck you guys. You're useless." Mm-hmm. She phoned the project office to voice her concerns. And around 1 p.m. that day, a project official arrived with a carpenter to take down the door. And this is finally when they find Ruthie McCoy in her bedroom in a pool of blood. The apartment was ransacked. And because it had been a few days since the break-in, the room was already filled with the smell of decomposition. Her body was taken to Cook County Hospital, where a full autopsy was completed. She was shot 4 times in total, once in the left shoulder, once in her left thigh. The third went through her abdomen, through her liver, and the fourth and fatal shot passed through her right arm into her chest, where it severed the pulmonary vein.
And I forgot that there was gunshots.
Yeah.
And they left.
After 2 different calls, within minutes of each other, said that there were gunshots. And that's why there were police there. And they left. And the sad thing is that the shot didn't kill her right away. It did puncture, it severed her pulmonary vein. So she died of internal bleeding. But she did not die right away. She bled out. She possibly could have been helped if somebody had gotten to her fast enough. It's really fucking upsetting. So, unfortunately, in this time and place, crimes and murders were just more common than they should have been, especially in this community. They rarely got attention from police, as we've seen, let alone the media. But when the Chicago Tribune hears about the way the killers entered Ruthie's apartment, they ran a story about it. And people were shocked and horrified to know that Ruthie McCoy's killers entered her apartment literally through her medicine cabinet. But to the residents of the Abbott Homes development, this was nothing new. The claim that they claim that intruders have been breaking into their apartments through medicine cabinets for over a year. Apparently, the pipe chases in between each apartment were about 2.5 feet across. You know what a pipe chase is? I had to look it up because I didn't know.
It's just an area between the walls where the pipes are, I'm assuming.
Yeah. So, like, you can literally, if you can climb well enough, you can literally just go from apartment to apartment to apartment. And all the pipes line up with, like the bathroom, the medicine cabinet, mm-hmm. so you can just cut a hole in the fucking wall. Or, like, I don't know, if you have a hammer, you can just
push it out.
Push it out. Ugh, so creepy. Yeah, I had to look that up. I had no fucking idea what that was. So, yeah, essentially there's just a bunch of tunnels in the walls connecting apartments. And the only thing holding someone back from bursting through your mirror is the 6 rusty nails holding that medicine cabinet to the wall. But it makes it so much easier to break into someone's apartment when the medicine cabinet was never even secured in the first place. That's right. After the first time Ruthie's apartment was broken into and she reported it to the CHA, no one even came by to resecure the medicine cabinet over the pipe chase opening. So it was just wide open.
And I've ripped medicine cabinets out of walls. It's really easy.
Yeah. Yeah. And, like, she was not in the right, you know, state of mind to be doing fucking house repairs. Like, somebody broke into her house. They could have come to make sure it was secure. And they didn't. So the CHA let her down. And the fucking police let her down. And the only person that didn't let her down was Deborah. Thank you, Deborah.
We love a Debbie.
We love a Debbie.
Yeah. And so I feel like there had to have been other calls about people breaking in through the bathroom cabinets then.
I'm sure there were.
So,
but they were probably just ignored.
The confusion of not knowing what was going on is bullshit.
Right.
Like, I thought they were like, what is she talking? Like, this lady's delusional. It doesn't even make sense what she's saying. But there had to have been other reports. They had to have known about
there
this.
I mean, like, you'd think there had to have been, but then it's just like, I don't know. A lot of people did not trust cops, rightfully so. So maybe there were a lot of people that didn't report these crimes. But at the very least, the CHA housing, they knew. She had specifically reported to them the last time that somebody had broke into an apartment through there. And they also did nothing. And they should have been reporting it to the police.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just so many things, Scott. It just sucks. This low level of care was given to her by police, who arrested 2 young men for the murder, but had no evidence beyond someone seeing them hanging around the lobby. After 2 years of trial, the men were acquitted. Again, no evidence. And to this day, her murder remains unsolved. Her story will never be forgotten, though. And it was used to set the scene for the movie Candyman, which showcases what it was like to live in the Chicago projects at that time and the racism, injustice, and neglect that its residents had to survive through.
Wow.
The end. I wish I had more to add to that story.
I thought the Candyman had something to do with candy.
Honestly, I've only watched like half the movie.
Okay.
But I want to watch the, I think it was like 3 years ago, Jordan Peele
mm-hmm.
did a version. He did like an update to it, and I really want to watch that because his movies are fucking awesome.
Mm-hmm.
I gotta try it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's even got the main guy in it too. Don't remember his name. Tall guy.
No idea. Chance the Rapper? No.
No?
Okay.
He's definitely not a rapper. Just the guy that plays Candyman.
Kidding.
Anyways, I know that was kind of a bummer.
You know what it reminds me of? This thing that went viral on TikTok. And I don't know if you saw it over on
the gram. On the reels.
Yeah.
I don't know.
This woman, she was feeling a draft in her bathroom.
Oh, actually, I know exactly what you're talking about because it came up in like 3 different freaking articles that I saw. I was like, this woman in 2021 found a whole ass like abandoned apartment behind her mirror or something like that. Yeah. And I was like,
behind her medicine cabinet.
Yeah. And that's what I was reading about was they would use like the vacant apartments on the other side. That's how, like, the drug dealers would move drugs through the building, is they would use the vacant apartments as, like, a headquarters. And then if they ever found out that the cops were coming, they would just shoot up and down the pipe chases. And then, boom, cops would come. Nobody's there. And then when the cops are gone, crawl back up to the vacant room. Continue operations.
You work so hard. Just do some good.
Get here. A job. A real job.
That reminds me of another story. This guy was living in a motel or something, staying in a motel, and I think he had noticed stuff in his room had been going missing. And
I hate these stories.
Yeah.
There's like a bunch of them on that Let's Not Meet podcast, and it freaks me out. Oh, that must be
where I think it is. Yes, where I listen to it. And he walks into his room one day and sees the lady and like confronts her.
Yes.
And she crawls back out through the freaking bathroom mirror. And then they find, like, she had been living back there. And between the walls, there was a whole
the original frog-er. Frog-er? Frogger.
Ah, yeah. That fucking creeps me out, too, just as much. That is so scary.
I've been telling a lot of stories about people living in walls.
I might have an obsession.
There was one comment we got on TikTok from our Frogger post. It was like, well, I guess I don't have to worry about this since I don't have a house. And I'm like, yeah.
An apartment.
The only benefit of our a housing crisis. No Froggers. What's your Frogger's name?
I'd like to say Lindsay.
Oh, okay. I like that.
That's a bright, sunshiny name.
Yeah.
I do hear some things up there sometimes, but might have just critters. God, I hope it's a person.
No.
I'd rather be a person than critters. I don't need an infestation.
So cute. Little baby possums.
Oh, I wouldn't mind possums.
Although they probably would piss up in your attic. That's
true. Anything but like rats. I think I'd even be okay with bats as long as they don't try to bite me and give me rabies. Only time will tell. I hear their poop is really good for the garden. Guano? Bat guano? I'll collect it. Here's the other thing I was thinking about. Let's start a worm business.
Like a worm farm.
Yeah. Or bees.
I like bees.
You like bees? I hear that it's not very profitable, but if we keep it small scale, we could probably do it.
What do we do with the worms? Sell them?
Mostly I just need worms in my yard because Lulu keeps eating them.
So this is completely self-centered.
Find me worms. I'll raise them. Cherish them as my own. And then maybe one day they'll have babies.
Do worms have babies? You have... Did you just ask me?
Oh. Do they lay eggs? Babies? Do they split in half like amoebas?
I told you, you're not allowed to ask questions that make me look stupid.
Why would that makes you look stupid? Does anybody know about worms? Any worm scientists out there, email feelforfriendspodcast@gmail.com.
We need to know. It's very important.
Especially if we want to fit it into our business model.
I'm sure you have a lot of worms.
I hope so. They're just like so tasty. For her.
Well, you're getting really desperate.
She can pick one out of the yard in like 4 seconds flat. She can just run out there, zero in, plop it right out of the ground.
Maybe she was a bird.
Maybe I need to train her. Bet she could be like a cadaver dog if they smell like worms.
Wow.
I bet most cadavers have worms in them.
Yeah.
Perfect. Sorry. We'll get off of worms. For now. I do bring it up every episode. God. Lately.
Not
you got
right.
Anything to add?
No, I don't.
Stay fearful, guys. Mm-hmm. Stay fearful. Of your neighbors. Of police. Of bats.
Lying landlords.
Lying landlords. Horrible women going through your egg case who wear full denim dresses. Be very fearful of them.
Full denim. Wow. Yeah, that is a red flag.
A jean dress all the way to the floor.
That
is a look.
Frightening. Beware of old men say.
Oh, my God. Sorry. Say what you're going to say, and then I have to say something about an old man. And then that is it for me. Go ahead.
An old man that say, are you the only one here today? Yeah, I sent my other teller home because I just enjoy being swamped and alone. Fucking asshole. No, we actually give people lunch breaks around here. How fucking out of touch can you be?
You gotta feed your soul, baby.
Like, why do you attack me like that? You think that I'm like...
Was he saying it as an attack? Like, how dare you be alone right now?
Yeah.
Oh, well, like, fuck him. He's rude.
Like, you need some more help. Why are you bitching at me, sir?
Because you need more
help. You are so out of touch. Have you never fucking had a service under Straub? Come on. Shut the fuck up.
As we know, Fridays are very busy for banks.
Yeah.
It's very annoying.
People are annoying.
This guy, yesterday, I was working my truck, and he was standing way too close to me for way too long. So I, like, turned around, and I was just like, do you need help finding anything? And I have to look up what he said. Like, right after he said this to me, I actually went in the back room and texted Matt. And I was like, am I allowed to be mad at this? Tell me, just be honest. He said, it's amazing how a woman can make everything look so nice and tidy.
I would have farted on him.
Right? I was just like, I'm mad about that. How dare you? It's just amazing what you guys do. And then he asked me where the cereal was when he was just standing right there. I went, turn around. Anyways. As a woman, I do make things look nice and tidy.
I'm speechless. I am so sorry. I'm just so sick of these out-of-touch people.
Yeah.
Seriously.
I think we both need to get away from people. Let's open a bar! I'm really depressed. I just finished my rewatch of How I Met Your Mother.
Oh. I'm like, how is that going to get us away puzzles. From people? No, I was thinking of, like, moving to
Arizona,
Wyoming.
I had that idea too, and everyone told me I was stupid.
Or some other state where I can buy a house for $10,000 and
a farm.
Yeah.
You could have little cows.
I'm pretty sure we talked about this last episode. Oh, tunnel. Probably. Yes, the 70s theme. Yes. It's fun.
Tunnel?
We could roller skate through it.
Yes, we did talk. Sorry, I just whacked the table. We did talk about that. I need to brush up on my skating. Yeah. I probably said that in the last episode too.
My sister has been roller skating, or at least making plans to go roller skating, and I'm like, don't.
The sidewalks here are not good.
I don't know where she's going, but I'm like,
it's very scary. A lot of cracks in the sidewalk.
There are certain people that just shouldn't do things.
Why?
Like,
is she
that
not coordinated?
Yeah.
Oh, that's funny.
My daughter either. Oh, man.
Well, your daughter has an excuse. She's a kid. Her bones are still half jelly.
I just don't get it.
Oh, sorry. Never mind.
Honestly, like, if I didn't birth that child, I would think she's my sister's child because of how clumsy she is.
It's got to come from somewhere.
Well, right, thank friends. You so much for listening. Rate, review, subscribe. Tell people about us. Just tell one person.
And then that one person will tell another person. And that one person will tell another person. And then that one person will tell the first person. And they'll be like, I'm the one that told you about that. Yeah. And they'll be like, oh, okay. And that's where the circle will end, unfortunately.
No. See, they're at a restaurant. And then they're like, I know. I've been listening to them too. And then, like, another person will hear them talking about us and they'll be like, oh my God, everybody's listening to this podcast. Now I have to listen.
Sure. Let's say that's how it's going to work. I think my way is more likely.
All right. Send your crazy stories to
fearfulfriendspodcast@gmail.com. Send your worm stories there too.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry.
Worm advice.
Please don't send worm stories. I mean, you can if you have a really good one, but. It's not required. Anyways.
All right,
talk to
friends.
You guys next time.
Bye-bye.
Bye.